Our text is 2 Thessalonians 3, 6 to 13, written by St. Paul. I read it from my version. Brothers, we order you in our Lord Jesus Christ's name to keep yourselves away from every brother who is acting irresponsibly and not according to the tradition that was received from us. For you perceive that these people must imitate us. For we were not irresponsible when we were among you. Neither did we eat liberally from anyone's food, but rather were working during trouble and hardship not to burden any of you. It was not because we didn't have the authority to eat liberally from your tables, but we wanted to give you an example to imitate. When we were with you, we had ordered you that if anyone didn't want to work, he must not eat either. We hear that certain ones are acting irresponsibly among you by not working, but are being unproductive. We order and advise in the Lord Jesus Christ people like this to eat quietly while working for their food. Here ends our text. The names in here have been changed. Tom Hart attended my high school and was the older brother of a girl in my class. One summer, my dad hired him to help with the tomato harvest in our greenhouse. Usually it would be him and me working to pick and sort the tomatoes and do the other jobs that were required to keep the tomato plants healthy and producing good crops. Tom was 2 or 3 years older than me. I was probably a freshman in junior high. Unfortunately, Tom just did not work out. He would disappear to the side of the greenhouse, engage in horseplay, and otherwise prove that he was not a good worker. After a few weeks, my father fired him. Our text says, if anyone does not want to work, he must not eat either. One of the seven deadly sins, traditionally, has been sloth, which means a disinclination to action or labor. The word sloth is related to the word slow. It refers to someone who doesn't like to work and who, when she or he does work, works slowly and does not put in the best effort possible. Generally, in our American society, sloth has not been a major problem in most circles. Our American competitive attitude requires us to be as productive as possible. If someone is not pulling their load, he will often find himself out the door. And while this is generally true, I can think of several areas where I've seen sloth excused or allowed. Some people in positions of power often misuse those positions to enjoy life instead of using all their capacity they can to be productive. They end up playing golf instead of working and may be able to indulge a bit of their pleasures through their work in the company. They arrive late to work and leave early. These bosses oftentimes make it hard for their employees to truly dedicate themselves to their work when they see their boss hardly working. I suppose that sometimes the labor unions have encouraged sloth by insisting that a person could only do a certain kind of job, and then when that person's help was needed to get something else done, he couldn't do it because it wasn't in his contract. My brother-in-law, who worked for Total Petroleum, told me of how some union employees had very secure positions but did little work. Because the labor unions protected them, they weren't able to fire the employee without going through a mountain of paperwork and red tape. Even in universities and schools, not even the highly educated sometimes will put in a full day's work. When I was a librarian at East Central Junior College in Union, Missouri, one of the drafting instructors told me that he put in about 30 hours of work in his week. His justification for that was that since he wasn't making as much as he might make if he were working in the private sector, he didn't feel he needed to put in his full effort. When I was at Indiana University working on a PhD, I heard of someone who had a friend who was engaged in research at some institution that was funded by government grants. He was getting a lot of work done as a researcher, so much so that the other researchers told him to stop working so fast. After all, if their research was conducted faster than expected and they got it done before the grant ran out, they might lose their jobs or they may not be able to apply for an extension of the grant and keep working. That person went to work in the private sector as a researcher, as he wanted to be productive. And in the private sector, they work very fast and often put in long hours because they need to get their research done and produce whatever product they're going to produce before their competitor does. Indeed, one of the things that Martin Luther protested was the ease of the monastic life he lived. While the church officially viewed monastic life as a holier lifestyle than being a farmer, laborer, housewife, or any other kind of regular occupation, Martin Luther had experienced as a monk what that life was really like. He wrote, "To be sure, they write over the gates of their monasteries, 'Deny yourself.' But if you wish to judge this matter on the basis of its facts, this motto means nothing more to them than, 'Desert a poor kitchen and enter a well-stocked one. Flee the burdens and labors of the world,' that is, the domestic and political ones, 'and enjoy life in the monastery, fattening yourself like a pig and favor nobody with anything. Oh, how easy and pleasant to the flesh this sort of mortification is." Rather, St. Paul tells us in our text that Christians should eat quietly while working for their food. One of the complaints that people often have is about their jobs. The job doesn't pay enough. It requires that they work too long or too hard for it. There isn't enough room for advancement. There are so many complaints we can make about our jobs, yet we need to be reminded that our jobs are blessings. Through them, we earn the money to provide a place for our family to live and to put food on the table. No, we may not have enough money to vacation in the Bahamas or to buy a boat, but I have found very few active Christian members in any congregation I've served who isn't putting food on their table or providing a roof over the heads of their family. That's something that I think as Christians, through the Holy Spirit, we are guided to do. Do you thank God for your work and your company? Do you consider all the good things that your employer does? Or do you just dwell on the mistakes and deficiencies of your company and boss? What do you want to fill your mind with? The problems and gripes of our everyday lives? Or the blessings and joys we find in life? Even the Israelites complained when God fed them manna in the wilderness. They were getting free food through the divine miracle, but they were complaining because there was no meat. So God caused a huge flock of quail to land by their camp. They ate so much they got sick. God took care of these people for 40 years as they wandered in the Sinai wilderness with this free food. And God takes care of us. That is why we should eat quietly while working for our food. Paul says that we should follow his example. When he was with the Thessalonians, he worked at the family trade of tent making while at the same time doing the work of a pastor. Paul had every right to expect the people to support him as he shared the gospel with them. As St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "The Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living by the gospel." As their pastor, he had the authority to expect that people would support him as he preached and taught to the best of their ability. But Paul did not take that right. Rather, he worked in Thessalonica at his secular occupation of tent making, despite trouble and hardship, in order to set them an example of how they should work hard at their occupations. Apparently, this was a problem in Thessalonica. Paul had to undergo persecution in Thessalonica for his work of preaching, according to Acts 17. Some of those Jews who didn't believe him were jealous of his success. They got a mob together and started a riot. They searched for Paul and Silas, and they took some of the believers before the authorities to accuse them of treason against Caesar. Paul and Silas had to escape in the middle of the night in order to continue to preach God's word. We like life to be easy peasy, hunky dory, living the life of Riley, as we who are older remember what that is. We don't want to work too hard. We want it to always be interesting and to always have everything at work go our way. Yet, because of sin, it doesn't. God told Adam after the first sin, "By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground." He told them, "Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thistles and thorns for you." Today's thistles and thorns may be very different from what was happening back then. It might be disgruntled customers, high costs of supply, the inadequate chain where we aren't getting supplies when we need them. We can expect that there will be problems at work because of sin. Jesus came into this world to work. He was a carpenter throughout his young life. When he began the life of a prophet, he commented, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." His adversaries, the Pharisees and the religious scholars of his time, went out to trip him up so that the Romans might arrest him or so that he might lose the popularity of the common people. But the work that the Father had given him especially meant that he would have to suffer. Part of the job Jesus had to do was to suffer and die for the sins of all people. If your job description included the requirement that you be whipped, cursed at, and crucified, you might not apply for the job. Yet Jesus knew that this was a job requirement before he ever came to earth. Even though he begged his Father to remove that clause from his job description, as he prayed to his Father in the Garden of Gethsemane, he ended his request with the mark of a truly loyal servant by saying, "Your will be done." So it was Jesus' responsibility to die and take away our sins. He shouldered that responsibility and did not shirk the pain. But unlike our jobs, which we work at so that we will receive the reward of our labors, the reward for Christ's work of redemption became ours. The bread we eat quietly at the Lord's table was earned for us by Christ. As Christians, we truly do get a free gift of food as we partake of that one who worked for our salvation. It was his work. We are the recipients of its reward. I seldom ran into Tom Hart after he was fired by my father. However, I did keep track of his sister Ann, who was in my class. She went on to attend college at Washburn University in Topeka, Kansas, where I also went to college. She got her degree and went on to the Washburn Law School. At a meeting 10 years after high school graduation to prepare for our class's reunion, Annie had landed a government job and was seeming to prosper as a result of her many years of hitting the books hard. We Christians are to be lights to this world. One way we do this is by being commendable workers. No one admires a worker who is a slacker. No one admires a student who cheats to get ahead. Those of us who bear the name of Christ bring honor to that name when we do the best work we can possibly do. And as I said, in Christ's kingdom, there is no retirement. So those of us who are still here and may be retired do not mean we retired from doing the work of the church. You were presented some opportunities today about the Christmas, getting ready for Christmas, and we hope some of you will take advantage of that. And no matter what age you are, God needs you to be working for his kingdom. And we do it because Christ did the best work anyone could possibly do as he suffered and died on the cross. Just as some husbands bring their paycheck home and hand it over to their wives, Christ has given us the rewards for his wonderful life of hard work, for we were the reason that he came here to work in the first place. Amen. And now may the peace that surpasses all human understanding stand guard of your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.